Welcome to Grease Paint and Stage Lights, the podcast. We hope you will be able to join us each time as we delve into all that is musical and drama theatre. Right now, close your eyes for a second and picture a rainy street, a distant train, a single piano note swelling as the lights come up. That little world you felt, that's the sound designer at work. Today, Soundstage, the hidden score that shapes everything you watch on stage. Listen carefully. We'll play a quick vignette on the website, but for now, imagine the creak of a step, a soft wind, then a breath. How did that moment get there? Who decided the mood and why? Stay with us for answers.
Today we've invited Sam Carter, a sound designer who's worked across musicals and straight plays, to pull back the curtain. We'll cover three big things: how sound shapes mood and character, the practical kit and tricks, from playback to live Foley, and finally, how sound teams collaborate and save opening nights when the unexpected happens. Sam, welcome. Tell our listeners a little about how you got into sound.
Thanks, Donna. Great to be here. I started as a stagehand and got hooked on how much a single cue could change a moment. One tiny hiss or a swell can turn a line of dialogue from ordinary to unforgettable. I love that invisible power. It's storytelling with speakers. Let's dive into point one, the creative role of sound. Sam, how do choices like underscoring or ambient noise actually shape mood and character? Give us a couple of vivid examples.
Sound does three jobs at once. It paints atmosphere, it suggests place, and it can comment on a character's inner life. For instance, in one revival I worked on, we used a very low, almost inaudible pedal tone beneath a character's lines whenever she lied. The audience didn't consciously hear a new melody, but they felt something shift. Suspicion followed. Another time, for a period piece, we layered distant factory whistles and horse hooves to make a foyer feel claustrophobic. Actors said the space felt different. The audience felt transported. Those are small, deliberate choices that steer emotion.
So, sound can be subtle and still be the engine of a scene. How do you decide when to be obvious and when to be almost invisible?
It's all about intention. If you want the audience to notice and feel something strongly, you lean into clarity, a memorable motif, a musical cue, or a sound effect timed to a line. If the aim is to nudge emotion without drawing attention, you use texture, low ambience, filtered tones, or sonic color that sits under the actors. The director's concept and the show's pacing guide that choice. I'll always test cues in a black box before the theatre. What reads intimate in rehearsal can be overwhelming in a 1,000-seat house.
Great. That leads neatly into our second point, the craft and the kit. Tell us how you actually make those sounds in a live theatre environment. What are the essentials?
In plain terms, we have three main tools: playback, live Foley, and microphones and mixing. Playback is pre-recorded audio triggered at the right moment. Music beds, recorded effects, even recorded crowd noise. Foley is the live creation of sound, someone offstage manipulating props, footsteps on different surfaces, the rattle of cutlery, a door slam. Microphones and the mixer are how we place and balance those sounds in the room, so the audience hears them where and when we want. Technical names you'll hear: cue is a time sound, fade is a smooth volume change, and mix is how we balance voices and effects in the house. Microphone placement is crucial. A tiny difference in position can change the perceived distance of a voice.
People often think a sound designer just presses play. What's a common misconception about the technical side?
The biggest myth is that everything can be fixed in the mix. In reality, good capture, good pre-production, and careful timing are everything. If a microphone's wrong or an effect is recorded at the wrong tempo, you can't polish that live. Also, sound design is not just loudness. Dynamic range and silence are tools too. And Foley? It's an art. You can simulate a thunderstorm with a sheet of metal and layered recordings to make it feel huge without blasting the audience's ears.
Okay, take us deeper.
what are typical pieces of kit I'd see in a theatre desk and the roles they play?
You'd often find a playback device or laptop running a cue software, an audio console or mixer where a sound operator blends everything, and outboard effects like reverbs or signal processors. On stage, you'll have microphones, lavalier mics for actors, overheads for chorus, and boundary mics for special effects. Cables and connectors like XLR carry balanced signal to avoid hum. For live musicals, we also use in-ear monitoring for conductors or band members. Simplicity is a virtue. The more complex the rig, the higher the chance of a tech hiccup, so redundancy is common. Backups for crucial cues.
That brings us to point three, collaboration and crisis management. How does the sound team fit into the wider company? And do you have a favorite cue save story?
Collaboration is constant. We work with the director on concept, with the musical director on balance, with stage management on timing, and with set designers on hiding speakers or routing cables. A good stage manager is a sound designer's best friend. As for a cue save, once, during an opening night, our main playback file corrupted 10 minutes before curtain. The stage manager calmly told us to go acoustic where possible. Our Foley artist improvised footstep patterns, and an actor who plays guitar covered underscoring live for almost two scenes. The audience never knew. Afterwards, the company toasted the Foley artist like a hero. Those quick-thinking, creative refusals to panic are theatre at its best.
Love that! Theatre saved by human ingenuity. Before we move on, let's do a quick rapid-fire round. Three common terms and three myths. Go!
Terms. Cue, the exact moment a sound is run. Foley, live-made or specially recorded effects synced to action. Ambience, background sonic texture that creates place. Myths. 1. Sound is just about volume. False. It's about placement and emotion. 2. You can fix everything later. No, prep matters. 3. Less experienced theatres can't do subtle sound. Also false. Clever design is often low-tech and high imagination.
Brilliant. Okay, 2-minute recap. Matthew, what are three practical things listeners can notice next time they're at a show to appreciate the sound design?
First, listen for the underscoring. If a line feels heavier, there's probably a subtle bed or motif supporting it. Second, watch the stage and think about source. Are sounds coming from visible props or from speakers hidden around the theatre? That placement tells a story. Third, notice silence and timing. A deliberate pause or absence of sound can be as powerful as a roar. Those little observations will turn a casual night out into a backstage lesson.
And one quick listener challenge. Next show you see, try to pick out one effect. Footsteps, a door, a gust of wind, and imagine how you'd make it. You'll be surprised how many choices are made to serve a moment, not just to fill noise.
And before we sign off, next week we'll explore set design, how the physical world of a show supports your suspension of disbelief.
Thanks so much, Sam. Really eye-opening. And to our listeners, keep enjoying theatre and all it has to offer.
Thanks for tuning in and join us next time for more Theatre Nuggets. Until then, it's Matthew and Donna saying goodbye. And make sure you tune into Grease Paint and Stage Lights on your local radio station. And visit Grease Paint and Stage Light, the radio show's website, where musicals matter.